Will you turn to Genesis 12? Genesis 12, this is about the faith of Abraham. I want to do stories for a while this summer. Sister Neufeld highly recommended that. So that's a good idea. In Genesis 12, God picked one person, Abraham, and he said, I pick you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. And through you, I'm going to bless every nation on earth. That's where this is going. So Abraham and Sarah, if we're going to tell stories, are a good place to start. So the journey begins. I'm actually going to begin at chapter 11, verse 30. Chapter 11, verse 30. Terah was Abraham's father. Sarah, Abraham's wife, was childless. She was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So Terah, Abraham's father, left Ur of the Chaldeans and headed for Canaan. And he stopped in Haran, which is about halfway. And he settled there in Haran, halfway to Canaan. And God took Abraham the rest of the way to Canaan. It almost sounds like God called Terah first. And he quit halfway. I don't know, but that's what it sounds like. The Bible says God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, not out of Haran. So Abraham went the first half of the journey with his father's family, and the last half on his own. How am I doing, Jason?
Doing pretty
good. Good. All right, Abraham's call and his promised blessing. Let's keep reading Genesis 12:1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. The last story in Genesis before this is the Tower of Babylon. And at that point and after that, there do not seem to be any people serving God. It seems that God called Abraham out of the blue. Later, Joshua will talk about the gods their ancestors served beyond the river. Abraham, it seems, did not know the one true God before this call. God came out of nowhere and said, I, whoever that is, I, whatever Abraham thinks, I'm calling you to go do this. And the first thing God told Abraham was what to do. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. That's how this starts. Folks, if Abraham did not go, the rest of this didn't happen. But Abraham went. Abraham is called a hero of faith, and that's the truth. But God did not say, put your trust in me. God said, go. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place he would receive and didn't know where he was going. In the Bible, there is usually no difference between faith and action. The scripture from Hebrews 11 that Judy and Elle read was by faith, but nobody... It doesn't talk about anybody's feeling of trust. It just talks about what they did. Jesus called the first disciples to leave their boats and follow him. They had to trust the Lord a lot to leave and follow him. But Jesus didn't ask for trust. He said, leave and follow me. He asked, so it begins with actions. Faith doesn't really exist unless there are actions. That's what it begins with. And then this remarkable seven-part blessing. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. So in short, God said, I'm going to take very good care of you, Abraham. I'm going to make you into a great nation, even though your wife is barren and childless. And this is important. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I'm doing this with you, Abraham, because I am completely determined that every nation and every group on earth will taste my blessing. That's why I'm picking you. I will do that through you. Listen, everything you and I have received through our faith, my brothers and sisters, we got from this. We didn't get anything else except God keeping a 4,000-year-old promise to a Chaldean. That's how we got here. And everything we get, the gospel and the prophets and the scriptures and our son, the Jesus, the Son of God himself and the Holy Spirit, all of that is outplay of this. We're in here. And it has come to us this way. Everything comes through this blessing through Abraham. Let's keep reading. Middle of verse 4. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all his possessions they had accumulated, the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. So Abraham and Sarah worshipped only the God of the Bible. And they moved, and there's a big group of people. They didn't all necessarily worship God as well as Abraham did, but we'll hear about that once in a while, though not in this chapter. There's another promise in verse 6 to 9. This is a promise of the land. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So that's just a promise out of the blue. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So, to your offspring I'm going to give this land. Abraham and Sarah don't have any children, and there's actually no reason to be optimistic at that point. Abraham kept his thoughts about that to himself. God told him his offspring would get the land, so he built an altar to honor and thank God on the basis of the promise. See, that's faith. The question isn't what he was thinking or feeling. He built an altar to thank and praise God and to remember the promise, which Abraham would not see in his life. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he built another altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then he set out and continued toward the Negev. And then we get to Abraham and Sarah in Egypt, and the story takes a different flavor. If we are faithless, God remains faithful. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. And then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Sarah, you can save my life. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. Why have you done this to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? So I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way, his wife and everything he had. Abram is a desert sheikh, a clan leader. This is utterly dismal behavior for a real man. He sacrificed his wife's honor and his own. to save his life. That's not how men in that part of the world are trained to live, and he knows that. Never mind sacrificing God's plan. Later, in Genesis 20, Abraham told a different king, "When I left my father's house from Haran, I said to Sarah, 'Wherever we go, Sarah, wherever we go, show your love for me by telling them you're my sister, so they don't kill me.'" And folks, she did. Everywhere they went. Sarah compromised herself regularly for Abraham's sake. Abraham actually could not have been a bigger wimp in the ancient world. In fact, Pharaoh said, "I took her to be my wife." For a time, Sarah was, in fact, Pharaoh's wife. How did Abraham think this was going to end? She was gone, he gave her away. They're both in a mess. God had said, "I will bless you, Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse." In Egypt, those words from God did not count to Abraham. Furthermore, it sounds like Abraham would have honored the marriage. Pharaoh would have honored the marriage. Abraham's request seems unnecessary. Pharaoh says, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" It seems that Pharaoh would have left Sarah alone if he'd known she was Abraham's wife. Even if Pharaoh would have decided to kill Abraham, would Abraham have been excused? No. Listen, fear makes us act like atheists. Do you know that? I saw it first in others, I confess. And they talk well about God, but then they're in trouble. And there's a long conversation, but there's no God in it. And after I saw it in others, I saw that I was just like that. The experiences that make me... Suddenly God is not in our story. He's gone, or if he's there, he's nothing. Would God let Pharaoh kill Abraham? Never. God said, "I will make you into a great nation." God had plans, and Abraham knew it. Abraham threw away his wife, his marriage, and God's promise. He thought it would keep him alive longer. Fear. Right at the beginning of Revelation, Jesus told John, "I hold the keys of death and the grave." Jesus has the keys. If Jesus does not open the death door, we're not going. If Jesus opens the death door, we're going. That's all there is to it. Nobody else decides. For Jesus, there are no accidental deaths. The story of the two witnesses in Revelation 11 makes clear that until our service to God is complete, we cannot be stopped. We are divinely protected. Once our service to God is over, so are we. No power on earth can either rush that or delay it. Those are good things to know. Pharaoh himself and his household had severe plagues. God was being faithful to Abraham and to Sarah and blessing them together, even though Abraham was faithless. God took care of them and got them back together. But Abraham was destined to bring blessing to all the nations. Did Abraham bring blessing to Pharaoh? No. Abraham brought severe plagues on Pharaoh himself and his household, simply for believing Abraham's faithlessness. Later in Genesis, Joseph goes to Egypt too. And Joseph trusted God and brought Egypt blessing. It was very good for Pharaoh in Egypt that Joseph was there. But it wasn't good for Pharaoh in Egypt when Abraham was there without faith. Later, Abraham did better, but not this time. So, keep in mind, and Abraham still came out of this blessed by God. When Pharaoh took Sarah to be his wife, believing that Sarah was Abraham's sister, Pharaoh made Abraham rich, gave him all kinds of stuff, sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. When Abraham left Egypt with Sarah, Pharaoh said, "Take it all. Just take it all and go." So Abraham left Egypt a lot wealthier than he had gone in. Why? Because God said, I'm going to bless you. And Paul tells us in Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. How can Abraham show so much faith in the first story? God says, go, and he goes. He leaves his household, heads for a place he knows nothing about. And shows so little faith when he comes into Egypt. How does that work? I have no idea, but I'm just like that. I'm just like that. And the faith I can show one day, I could drum up a few impressive stories of faith, but there's no end of the other ones too. We're all like that, except for Jesus of Nazareth. That is how God works. That was what he has to work with, and he works with our acts of faith and keeps the thing moving when we are faithless. But it does bring trouble to ourselves and to others. There's real comfort in this story. The problem with fear and why the Bible warns against fear is that it can produce faithless living. Feeling scared is not pleasant, but feeling scared is not the problem. Faithless living, faithless actions, that's the problem. But even there, God's faithful. He works, he protects, he helps, he restores, and that's so good. We forget about his promises, he doesn't forget about his promises. We could have remembered, but even when we forget, he doesn't forget. That's very good news. This is actually a story about God. When we read those Genesis 12, 2 and 3, those 7 points of blessing at the beginning of Genesis 12, every story in the rest of Genesis, right to the end of Genesis 50, shows God keeping those promises. It's at the core, not the story about Abraham or about being faithful or faithless. It's a story about God. And God made a promise to bless that family because he wanted to bring blessing to all the nations. Thank you. God made a promise to bless that family because he wanted to bless all the nations. And the rest of Genesis, if you look at every story with one eye back on that blessing to Abraham, you will see it. Good things and bad things happened in that family. It's a very interesting family. Genesis is all about it's all about family. And good and bad stuff happens in that family. Lots of both. Lots of interesting stories. But God has decided to bless that family line, and that's the real story. God carrying out his purpose through that family line. And we are still under that blessing. We are among the peoples God blessed. And that's a God story, and it was designed to spread to us and include us. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, thank you for that great blessing on Abraham that we just read. Oh God, thank you for your faithfulness to Abraham and Sarah and to that whole family line. And today, in this picnic shelter, 4,000 years later, the wealth of your kindness to Abraham and Sarah in Canaan and Egypt has spread to us gathered here. We have been included. And oh God, we all sometimes show faith, like Abraham did. We leave and go. Because you told us. And sometimes we are faithless, as Abraham was, and we forget. And God, we bring troubles on ourselves and on others. Will you lead us away from this? Oh God, help us show faith by our actions more and more. And may your blessing on us include this teaching and this guidance, that we will show our faith by our actions. And God, thank you for your great faithfulness. You're unbelievable. When we are faithless, you remain faithful, and we are so grateful. Glory and praise and thanks to you, O God, forever and ever. Amen.